This is City Lights on WABE. I'm Lois Reitzes. Thank you for listening. Innovation and invention move fast. And as new technology is created, our old computers end up as yesterday's trash. The Computer Museum of America aims to preserve the history of the digital revolution while empowering the innovators of the future. City Lights engineer and contributor Shelley Canavy visited the museum, the only one of its kind in the Southeast.
The Computer Museum of America is part history museum, part art exhibition, and part technology showcase. Nestled between a movie theater and a putt-putt golf course in Roswell, the museum houses the largest collection of Cray supercomputers, as well as many historical and nostalgic artifacts. I spoke with Rena Youngblood, the museum's executive director. I wanted to know, what is a computer museum, and what can one expect when they get there?
Yeah, you know, it is a different museum, and you're not going to find this in the Southeast. We don't have too many attractions like this, which is really fun for the Metro Atlanta area to have, especially with the growing tech sector that we are supporting from every angle within our city. So when people come to the Computer Museum of America, there's a bit of nostalgia because this history does not go back too far. So a lot of people have used a punch card machine. They are like me. They remember getting their bag phone. Things like that, the toys that we played with in the 80s that were digital or electronic. Lots of the games, you know, people can sit down here and play Pac-Man on a 1981 Atari. So there's a bit of this nostalgia. What we do recognize and what we work hard to do is that a lot of the things that are here, we're starting to lose the people who can tell us the stories. And we've got to capture that, and we need to preserve it, because we truly, truly believe that by preserving this past, we're going to create people who are going to innovate more in the future. And so that's just kind of a core belief of ours, is we've got to preserve it, we've got to tell the stories, and it will inspire the future.
Yeah, it's kind of a history museum, actually.
It really is a history museum. It is. Now, it's an interesting history museum because you go into many of them, people would not reach out and touch things in other history museums. They would not reach out and touch that, you know, Picasso that's, you know, at the museum. They just wouldn't. But here, computers, people do reach out. Some of them remember working on them. And we have our own computers. We hold them every single day. And so, you know, we are trying to preserve these pieces as well. We want them to be here 150 years from now.
But you do have some things you can play, because you have the little arcade game. And I want you to tell me about the sink, the 20-second hand-washing sink. How did that, what goes on with that? Can you describe it?
Yes. The Computer Museum of America had some pop-up exhibits for a few years before they opened permanently here in 2019. At the time, they had something that was called the Hygiene Monkey, and you were to wash your hands, and they had a little program, and had this monkey that was, you know, crawling up a vine. One of the students who helped put that together, one of the SCAD students, has sat out on his own, and he is doing this now as a business. And so you can come here, now it's programmed with a Raspberry Pi, and you can just put the motion under the sink, and it lets you know that you've been washing your hands for 20 seconds. If the monkey falls off the vine, you didn't do it, kind of gamifying this habit that we all should have.
Is he gonna make it?
Keep washing.
Keep washing.
May I get a point? You made it.
And then at the end, it will give you the data. End of the day, you've had 10 people who did it correctly and 20 who did not, or whatever it is. So it is something that a business, a school may want to install just to help children know what they're doing.
Tell me about the Nook Look and the loom that's in the Nook right now.
That's one of my favorite pieces. So the Nook Look is not a full-blown exhibit, but we have a lot of people who stop by, and they might say something like, oh, I wish you had. What's on the floor today is somewhere between 1% and 2% of the available collection. So it's huge. It's many, many, many thousands of pieces. Now, that is all from huge supercomputers to two small mugs that might have been carried in the 70s by an IBM employee. So it's a lot of different things. But the Nook Look allows us to bring things out, and then who knows when they'll come out again. So right now in the Nook Look is the Jacquard loom. It is a weaving loom. You can see some fabric there. But what it did was they used punch cards to let the loom know where to put certain threads. So suddenly you have patterns and, you know, things that are just a little prettier than every day. Up until this loom, only the wealthy had these more intricate fabrics on their dresses and outfits because you had to have a master weaver. And so now you could use unskilled labor to create some things that many, many other people could wear. And so we're read that Charles Babbage was inspired by this idea, and he is the one who is credited with modern computing using punch cards with his analytical machine and differential machine. And so, yeah, it's just a really, really neat piece, and it's kind of the first step in that evolution of punch card computing. And we, of course, have a punch card machine that we love pulling out once a month, giving demos. We let people sit down and punch a card, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting that the weaving materials and like that kind of art really got a lot out of science and computing.
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
Crazy.
It is.
It's neat that you have it too. And I got to try out the punch card machine for myself.
And then after seeing the Jacquard loom, you almost see the evolution. Yeah.
How that works. Yeah. Rena took me on a little tour of the museum, and the first thing we saw was an 1,100 square foot graphic showcasing a timeline of technology. It takes you from the year 1500 to the present, denoting the inventions of different kinds of technology and what else was going on in the world at that time.
What makes it so, so different is that we want to highlight, of course, the computing, the technology, people and products, but we know that people visiting aren't all going to say, I'm a techie and I understand it all. So we tried to put it in a more cultural context. So here you may be someone who loves cars. You may be someone who loves pop culture. You find that area that just really interests you. And you can just look down and see what was happening and all the other things. At the children's eye level, you've got games, you've got superheroes, when they came out. And so it's just a really, really interesting exhibit, and we don't think anyone has done anything quite so extensive. We love this exhibit, and people will spend hours in front of it.
Yeah, this is a lot of info. Starting at 1500 and going,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at this first computer mouse. That is so funny. That's wild.
We love the rotary phone.
I was just going to say.
We have one up at, in the gift shop, and people can play with it. And most children understand the numbers. They understand a phone number, but it's kind of cute. Many don't know to pick up the receiver, so they don't get that part. Down here, this is a Magnavox Odyssey. It was really the first gaming console.
And I see Atari.
Atari, we do. We have that and the E.T. game that was considered quite the bust at the time.
So,
yeah. The real gamers, they know that when they see it, they laugh. Over here is our retro gaming corner. So this is the space where you can play Donkey Kong on one of the early Nintendos or Pac-Man on an Atari. There's a TRS-80. It's a little hands-on, but you really are hands-on with artifacts. This is the Byte Wall exhibit. Byte Magazine was a hobbyist magazine, ran from 75 to 98. Robert Tinney did a lot of the original covers, and these two pieces here are the original works. So we, you know, try to keep bringing this art into the museum. When you look at the art of the earlier covers, you just see things that had to be science fiction at the time. So here we've got the That's Race cool. to Space. Gives you a lot of the history. Some of the pieces in here, the dioramas are fantastic. And then the cases have some things that the founder just has had. As a matter of fact, he wrote Neil Armstrong as a child after he walked on the moon. And Neil wrote him back with his signed picture. So.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Rena told me a little bit about the new series that the Computer Museum of America is offering. It's an adults-only after-hours series called Bites, Brews, and Bourbon.
This is exciting. This is a series that we're going to do each and every year, and it allowed us a chance to create a series for adults. It's a 21-plus event that we can pull out something new. We can unveil a new exhibit. So back in June at our second Bites and Brews, we unveiled a Cray 2 that had been owned by NASA. Our Cray 2 was used for 10 years with flight tests and things by NASA. So it was a really fun exhibit piece to pull out and kind of just show people. The very first Bites, Brews, and Bourbon was in April. And both of those, I can say too, we capped how many people came in, unsure, you know, the safety and all of that. So we wanted to make sure we did the right thing there. So the April one, we did computers in the movies. It allows people to see when certain special effects were used for the first time and different things like that. And then a fun part where, you know, computers are characters. So think Terminator, think HAL. So it's a fun exhibit. The next Bites, Brews, and Bourbon, there will be a highlight of some World War II technology. We will have some bomb sites that have been donated to the museum by a collector and really help us to see the calculations and math that was involved in what was had to be done during World War II. We have some communication devices. This is in addition to the Enigma machine that is on permanent exhibit right now. We have an author who has written a book about her mother who worked at Bletchley Park. She was at the secret Bletchley Park. And the foreword for her book was written by Alan Turing's nephew. So we're just going to make it sort of this World War II technology theme, which I think is very interesting. And it's not so far back that you can't see where we are now based on some of the things that were being done at that time.
It's pretty special that you guys have that Enigma machine, right? Because there's not many left in working condition.
There really aren't.
And for people that might not know what the Enigma was used for, can you talk about that?
Yeah, the Enigma was a secret code that the Nazis used during World War II. They said it was an unbreakable code, and so we had to make sure that it was broken. There's some history with it. There were people in Poland who began breaking the code before it was invaded. They turned over what they learned to the folks in England in Bletchley Park. Alan Turing sort of headed up that group of people that ended up breaking the code. And then you can go a step further, and NCR, a company that's based in Atlanta, they were in Ohio at the time, had an engineer who created a machine that broke the code even faster. And so by the end of World War II, I believe we were breaking most of what was happening in the Atlantic.
The Computer Museum's next Bites and Brews event. That's BYTESBREWS. That event is Thursday and includes live music plus a conversation with Jan Slimming about her book, Codebreaker Girls, A Secret Life at Bletchley Park.